Love is all you need. That's scriptural. That is scriptural. If you don't believe me, you should read your Bibles because it's all over the Bible. Love is all you need. And you know, one of the things that I greatly rejoice in, the fact when Jesus says, there's one surefire test that you're my disciple. One surefire test. If you're not sure, there's one way you can tell. It's like, you know, your scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. That you stay up all night praying. That you give everything you've got to the poor. He says, if you do that kind of stuff but don't have love, you're nothing. And he says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples. By your love for one another. That's amazing. That's amazing. Because that's amazing for us. It frees us from all kinds of rubbish that we get bound up with. It really does. It frees us to live fruitful lives. And it's amazing also because it gives hope to our loved ones who don't know Jesus. It gives hope to those who've never heard the name of Jesus, because those who live in love live in God, the Bible says. They know God. They live in God. Not those who've repented or said the sinner's prayer, but those who love know God. It's amazing. The Bible's full of surprises. Okay. I'm excited about 2015. I think it's going to be a year with a lot of hope for us, a lot of good news. And the title of my talk is Becoming Good News. You know, obviously the gospel is good news. The very word itself means good news. Euangelion gets translated the gospel. We are the people that carry that good news. Do you feel that this morning? Is it bubbling, bubbling, bubbling in your soul? I can't not dance when that song goes on. It's like a prophetic revelation, but the wells just stir up. We are the good news. We carry the good news. We're commissioned to carry the good news. We've been told, we've been ordered, we've been commanded to carry the good news into the whole earth, to love everyone we meet. This is who we are, to bring heaven to earth. So, you know, there's enough bad news around, isn't there? We've just been praying into that this morning. There's enough bad news around. And our hearts go out to what's happened to those guys in France that have suffered so badly, their friends and their relatives, and the nation that has been shaken. And and our airways are filled with it. And if we're not careful, if we meditate on it and think about it, what we do is we give fear a foothold in our lives. That's why the Bible says whatever is good, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is perfect, whatever is holy, whatever is beautiful. Think about those things. Think about Steve. You're beautiful. Yeah, think about the things that bring you joy. Don't fill your minds or your hearts with the things that fill you with fear. Because that's the fruit of fear is the fruit of filling our minds with those things. We can feed it, and our culture feeds fear. So we tell our kids to beware of strangers because they're so dangerous. When in actual fact, most strangers are potential friends and not potential enemies. And we are the antidote to fear. Just look, turn to your neighbor and just say that. You know, you're the antidote to fear. You bring joy. You bring peace. You bring love wherever you go. And God is going to help us to carry more of those things into the world this year. He's going to help us to bring peace to men and women whose hearts are full of fear. Our Father in heaven is going to help us to get better at doing that. Amen? Do you want that? I want that. You see, God is at work. God has already been at work. Just that God's timescales are pretty, you know, depressing to us. Because we want things to happen now. We want things to happen in an instant. But God, from the very beginning, chose to take a long time to make the world the way he wants it to be. And it's the same with us. He's prepared to go at our pace. I love the picture of God, Father, walking with a toddler. I walked with John last night. I took him to his first football match to see Reading play Middlesbrough yesterday. Ooh, glory. 0-0 draw. Fantastic. He still enjoyed it. But on the way home, he said, Dad, you walk so fast. I thought, oh, come on. Go at his pace. Go at his pace. I'm the adult here. Go at his pace. Don't rush your agenda on him. You know, and God is like that with us. God will walk as slowly as we want to walk. He's so gentle and humble. He goes at our pace. And the thing is, though, he's been working so powerfully in the church the last 50 or 60 years. You know, in this country, he's been doing some incredible things. The church has come alive with the Holy Spirit. Every denomination is now practicing the gifts of the Spirit, praying for the sick, proclaiming prophecies and stepping out and seeing miracles happen. So I love the fact that we've got Damien Stain hopefully coming this summer from the Catholic Church, who sees incredible miracles happen in the name of Jesus. I love that. I absolutely love it. So he's been filling us with his Spirit. He's also been so that we know that we're empowered to bring heaven to earth. That's really important. But then he's also revealed his Father heart towards us. He's let us know, he's reminded the church, actually, fathers sometimes have to be disciplined, but that's a really small part of what we do. Fathers, you know, if you've introduced me to my kids as someone, or if my kids introduced me, this is my dad, he's great at bringing discipline. What would my face be? My face would be crestfallen. This is my dad, he's funny, that's okay. Look at my dad, he's crazy, that's okay. Look at my dad, he does all kinds of cool stuff and takes us to climb mountains, that's okay. Not, this is my dad. He knows how to tell me off when I get things wrong. And yet that's been the message to the church has proclaimed far too long. And now God is revealing his Father heart that he wants to bless. He wants to bless and bless and bless and bless until you can't contain it. And so it spills out and blesses the people around you and me. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's what he said to Abraham 4,000 years ago, just about. And that's what he says to you and me today. It's the same call. We live in the promises of Abraham. Our God keeps his promises. And we're in that same vein. I'm going to bless you. 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 So it spills out and blesses those around you. And of course, he's also helping us to work together. I delight, and I really mean that, I delight, it makes me dance for joy, that churches are working together in every town, just about, that you can, up and down the country. And every denomination, we're forgetting about what we are, whether we're Baptists, or whether we're Charismatics, or whether we're Pentecostals, or whether we're Anglicans. And actually, we're just saying, let's love our towns together. Let's serve our towns together. Let's feed the poor together. Let's clothe the naked together. We can do that. Let's protect our streets together. Let's go out and care for the drunks together. We can do that. We don't have to agree and dot the I's and cross the T's on all our theology, because it's by our love for one another that the world will know, not by our flipping theology. Although, you know, I'm a great believer in theology because it releases us to run in love if we get it right. So God is at work, but you know, he's still working. He's still doing some great stuff and surprising us. And he did that in the early book of Acts. This talk, by the way, I'm not going to get a chance to read out whole bunches of scripture, but I want you to know it's been completely inspired by the first 15 chapters of the book of Acts. I've just been amazed as I've read those stories of the early church, seeing God send his angels out ahead of the church into situations to release prisoners, to win converts, to heal the sick. He's been sending his angels out in all kinds of places, in all kinds of ways. And in the book of Acts, we see the men working with angels and seeing God's kingdom come. And in one of the things that happens is, all of a sudden, people were becoming Christians who they didn't expect to become Christians. Their lives weren't sorted. They weren't followers of Moses. They hadn't been circumcised. They weren't following the law. They hadn't been through their baptismal classes. They hadn't signed up to Alpha. And yet the Holy Spirit was coming upon them, and they were speaking in tongues and praising God and dancing and full of joy. And the apostles got together in a rather somber gathering like this. What are we going to do about this? And some stood up and said, we've got to make them follow the commands of Moses. We've been following them for thousands of years. We've got to make them be circumcised. It's the only way. They're missing out unless they get circumcised. And then someone else stands up and says, hold on a minute. Let's be honest. They never did us any good. Look where it got us. It got us into exile. It got us into slavery. It got us into all kinds of problems. We never managed to do it. Why should we put on them the weights that we couldn't carry? The joy bringers won the day. The freedom bringers won the day. And they said, God's doing a new thing today. He's helping us to understand our scriptures in a whole new way. And it's light and it's joyful and it's good news. And actually, we don't want to put any burdens on these guys that are becoming followers of Jesus. All we want to do is tell them to abstain from sexual immorality. That's probably a good thing. Maybe not drink blood, at least not in public, because that's pretty awful. And avoid meat sacrifice to idols, because, you know, that gets them into all kinds of trouble. You know, later on, at least one of those commands they forget about. But, you know, this is what was happening in the early church. The leaders of the church, their eyes were being opened. And when you look and read, do you read blogs by key Christian leaders I mean, I do. I love to keep up with what's going on around the world. If you listen to key preachers, there is no doubt, actually, that there's a debate going on in our society around the nature of Scripture. What is Scripture? What makes it authoritative? What is it authoritative for? What is our Bible? How do we get the best out of it? And so, and the Holy Spirit is revealing stuff to us in this day, which is going to help us to get even more life and more joy and more hope and more freedom and take more good news to our communities. And I love the fact, you know, people like Rob Bell, who some people might get worried about, but he says a lot of good stuff as well as some stuff that we could maybe question. But people like Tom Wright. If you want to read somebody, read Tom Wright. He's written two fantastic books. One I've got here, Surprised by Scripture. That's the picture up there. Another one called Scripture and the Authority of God. Fantastic books. A man like Tom Wright, at the heart of orthodoxy, at the heart of the Anglican Church movement, and one of the most respected theologians in the world today, is bringing fresh light to our understanding of Scripture and the way we handle it and what it is just for and what it's not for. Because let's be honest, the church hasn't always got it right. We've used the Bible in terrible ways. We've used it to beat up scientists to tell them they're wrong. We've used it to support slavery and say that it's in the Bible, therefore we can do it. We've used it to keep women in their place in the kitchen, keep silent in church. We've used it that way, terrible ways. But we've learned from that, and we've grown through those things. And now we don't dare treat the Bible in that manner because we know it's not intended to. But there's more light yet to shine forth from his word. And he's helping us in this day to really release a whole lot more light through it. And so I'm going to be doing a three-week series on what is the Bible exactly. And I'm going to come around and tour all the churches. And I'm going to help us to grapple with some of these things. And yeah, you don't have to agree with me, but I just want to get some of the excitement that I feel about what God is doing in this area into the whole, all of our lives. And if you want to get a head start, please read Tom Wright's books. They're for sale, I think, at the Quench Bookshop. Is that right, Hannah? We've got them for sale at the back. So after the meeting, you can buy them from the Quench Bookshop be blessed. Start the new year off by really wrestling with Scripture. I tell you, it releases the most light. The Bible is just the best book. I read it every day. It just releases so much life to me, especially when we can see Jesus on every page, the Savior who loves us. When we don't get our wrong lenses on. Okay, so that's what we're doing. And this is looking on the face of Christ. So this message I'm bringing you this morning is really a kind of rerun of Look, Love, Live. It's looking on the face of Christ. This is part of how we look on the face of Christ. This is part. Jesus is our inspiration. And we look to the Scripture to learn about our God, that we may follow him more nearly. Secondly, it's good news through who we are. You know, there's a story in those early chapters of Acts chapter 9, where Saul is a young man who's full of anger. And he's a proud young man. He's proud because he's a Jew of Jews. He's in the most important nation on the earth, God's chosen people. And not only that, he's a Jew of the Jews. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's learnt the Bible. He knows the Bible better than anybody else in his generation. He's been taught by the best teachers of his time. He knows exactly where he's going. He's very proud. And so when the church comes along and starts to proclaim a different understanding of the Old Testament, he gets angry about that. And when they start to lead large crowds astray, he gets even more angry. He starts locking them up, stoning them, putting them in prison, getting them killed. He was full of pride. I love God's sense of humor. Paul thought he was so big in God's purposes. When he becomes a Christian, he gets a new name, Small. I love that. It's so ironic. But it's fantastic. You know, he becomes a Christian because God Jesus sovereignly appears to him on the road to Damascus. He has that road, we still use that phrase in our culture, the road to Damascus experience, because a bright light shone around him and he was blinded, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" And we think, why can't God do that to our loved ones? Why can't he do that to my husband who doesn't yet know Jesus? Why can't he just break in that sovereign way? He does it to Muslims, for goodness sake. Why won't he do it to my husband, or to my wife, or to my children? Well, you think, the thing is, you see, Paul, although he was proud, he was a true God seeker. He believed with all his heart he was doing God's will. I bet he was crying every day to God, praying every day to God, help me to do your will. Help me to drive this sect, this blasphemous sect underground. Help me to drive it out, to purify your people. And he was praying to God and calling out to him and asking for God's help. So God thought, okay, you want my help? I'm going to give it to you. It's not quite what you imagined, Saul, but here you go. Wallop. And then you get Ananias, a disciple in Damascus, and an angel appears to him, because God's going to send his angels ahead of us this year. An angel appears to Ananias and says, now I want you to go to this certain street, straight street, and there's a place there and I want you to go to, and there's a man there called Saul from Tarsus, and I want you to go to him and pray for him, because I want him to know what he's got to do for me. And Ananias goes, you've got to be joking. Lord, that can't be you. This must be a trick. Maybe is this a demon talking to me now? Because this man, he locks up Christians, don't you know? He kills us. He was full of fear. But the Lord spoke to him again. The angel spoke to him again. Said, don't be afraid. He's my servant. I've got stuff that only he can do for me. I've chosen him. Go and pray for him. And Ananias overcomes his fear because the angels spoke to him. And he goes to see Saul. And then a few years later, when Saul goes to Jerusalem, he wants to connect with the big boys in Jerusalem, the apostles who follow Jesus. And he wants to connect with them and make sure he's okay. And they won't meet with him. They hide from him. Because obviously they've experienced firsthand him killing their friends and their loved ones. They won't meet. But then a man called Barnabas goes and finds Saul and brings him to the apostles. He overcomes fear. They lived in fear. They lived under fear. So Barnabas rose above it, went and made contact and brought him to the apostles. And they had fellowship and they moved on together. Now, the truth is, guys, isn't it? Isn't it true that we all wrestle with these things in our hearts? Am I the only one in the room? We all wrestle in our hearts with pride and with fear and with lust and with laziness and other things that go on. But we all wrestle with these things. And we all struggle at times to live in love and humility. But, you know, I had a couple of conversations with different ladies this week. And both of them just had a revelation. Actually, do you know what? I'm living under fear. And who knows that when we react out of fear or out of pride, we don't behave very well. You can probably remember times now when you've done that. You've just reacted out of fear and out of pride. It's not good. And you say things you wish you'd never said, and you do things you wish you'd never done. But when you live in humility, when we know that others are important and as important as us, when we live in that way, and when we live in love, actually we feel good about ourselves. So just think for a moment, in that quadrant, that picture which comes from Heart Life, humility and love there on the top and pride and fear below. Just think about your heart right now. Think about our hearts. Where, if we had to place our heart at the moment, where would we place it on that graph? How much pride is there? How much fear? How much love and how much humility? And as a group of leaders, as churches, you know, we are committed to you guys. We really want us all to wrestle with this. We want us all to be transformed into his likeness from glory to glory. And we know we can help. There are practical things we can do. And one of the things we're going to focus on is the Heart Life stuff that our friends Mara and Stephen Klemick from Australia have come up with. A lot of us have been blessed by their ministry. Who's been blessed by their ministry already? Yeah, a host of us. And as churches, we're going to look afresh at the whole Heart Life thing and get us talking this kind of language about our hearts, and you know, so that we all understand that we can live in fear or pride, or we can choose to live in love and humility, and how we might encourage and spur one another on to actually do that and identify where we can improve. So we're going to, as churches, you'll hear more later on, Andy's going to come and speak to us about that in May, but we're going to work this into our churches because we believe it's one way of us becoming disciples of Jesus. As we disciple our hearts in this way, it will help us to love everyone that we meet, which is another one of our community aims. We have three. Look on the face of Christ. Love everyone we meet. And live like heaven is near. If we do those things on a daily basis and stir ourselves up and encourage ourselves to do those things, we will live in revival. Lastly, we're going to grow in the good news of what we do. If you've read Acts again, you'll see in chapter 10 this tremendous story where an angel appears to this guy who doesn't know Jesus. This guy is just giving stuff to the poor. He's praying to God, doesn't know God at all. He's praying to him and giving stuff to the poor. And the angel comes down and says, "Hey, Cornelius, you're a good man. God loves you. He really loves the fact that you're giving to the poor and that and your prayers have reached him in heaven. And he's got a message for you, but you've got to send for a guy called Simon. He's staying at the Tanner down at Joppa. Go and get him." So immediately he sends some servants down, 2 days' journey down to Joppa to go and get him. Meanwhile, Simon is praying. He's praying on top of a roof about midday, and he's hungry, so he orders food. He orders a takeout from the kitchen downstairs. And so he gets back to praying, and he hears this vision of the sheep being lowered from heaven, and this voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And inside this sheep, there's all kinds of creepy, crawly things. Things that Jews aren't supposed to eat. Unclean animals. Alligators and scorpions and I think even bunny rabbits and other things. That Jews are not supposed to eat pigs, you know, that kind of thing. And he says, "Get up, kill and eat." And he says, "Oh, this is a test. I'm not falling for this. Surely not, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever touched my mouth." And God says, "Don't call anything unclean that I have called clean." And then the sheep raises back up to heaven. And it happens a second time. And Peter again says, "No, no way. I'm not falling for this one." And it goes up into heaven. Third time it happens, and Peter's slow. I love the fact that the leader of the church was slow, because that gives me hope. I could be slow, and a lot of you suffer from that. And I thank you for your grace. But, you know, then there's immediately, he's had that dream. These three guys come, and they say, "Is Simon here? Because an angel appeared to him, our master, and sent us to come and get him." And all of a sudden, Peter had a revelation. And you read that revelation in Acts chapter 10. He says, "God spoke to me and made me realize I'm to call no man or woman or child unclean. I'm to call no one unworthy. No one is beyond the love of God." And so he says, "I'm going to go with you. Now, it's forbidden in my religion to go with you, but I'm going to go with you because God's just revealed it to me. His angels have come before." And so off he goes. And Cornelius has got this big group of people gathered ready to meet him. And when he gets there, he just tells them simply the story of what's happened to Jesus. And says, God is giving the world peace and repentance from sins through this man Jesus. He raised him from the dead. And as he's talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit falls on all these people that don't know him. That have never been discipled, never known him. The Holy Spirit falls on them and they start prophesying and speaking in tongues and praising God and dancing about like loonies, like we do on a Sunday morning sometimes. I like us to do it more often, but you know, hey. And Peter then says, "Wow, God's accepted these people. Not only has he told me that I must not call them unclean, he's actually come to live with them. God has set up his home with them. He's accepted them fully. I can't stop them from being baptized now." So he baptizes the whole lot of them. And, you know, God got into places we could never have got into on our own. God got into communities that we could never have reached if he hadn't sent his angels ahead of us. And God is going to reach people that we will be surprised that he is going to reach. Because we do the same as Peter in our own way. We say, "Oh, they can't possibly receive the gospel. They're not ready yet. They're too hard. They're too proud. They're too wealthy. They're too independent." Yeah, but when God sends his angel ahead of us, these things happen. So he's going to send his angel ahead of us this year. I hear that ringing in my ears as I pray and as I prepare for the messages again and again. And I just want you to receive that personally right now. God is going to send his angel ahead of you this year. It comes from a time when Abraham was sending his servant off to find a wife for his son. And he told the servant, saying, "Well, come on. They've forgotten about us. What happens if they don't want to come?" He says, "I'll release you in that case. But know this, God is sending his angel ahead of you and you will succeed." And when we look at the things that we face with our lives, whether it's at work, whether it's with relationships that have gone sour, whether it's in our families, wherever it might be, whether it's in church, wherever our struggles are, whether it's with health, we can reason why they're not going to get any better. We can reason why things are going to stay the same. We can reason why there is little hope. But I want to speak into that hopelessness right now and proclaim that God is sending angels this morning ahead of you. And we can expect the unexpected. We can expect to be surprised. We can expect to be released. Like Peter, when he's bound up in those chains in prison, he's locked up. Herod's locked him up. And there's no hope for him. He's surrounded by lots of soldiers. Trained Roman officers are pretty good at killing people and guarding them. But an angel comes to him in the middle of the night, and the soldiers all fall asleep, and his chains fall off, and he walks out. And Peter thinks it's a dream. It can't possibly be happening. It can't be real. And yet it is real. And he wakes up and he dances for joy and runs to meet the other disciples. That is going to happen to some of us this year. Emil, I'm just looking at you as I'm saying that. Grab hold of that promise, Emil. There's an angel God is commissioning this morning to run ahead of you into the things that you face. Thank you, Jesus. So that's a promise that we can lay hold of. And he's sending us to different kinds of people. He's sending us to God-fearers, to God-seekers, and to those who are suffering. And he's asking us to live like heaven is near. So who are the God-fearers? They're the men like Cornelius, already doing good stuff. They're already giving to the poor. They're already praying. They don't know who they're praying to, but they're already doing some good things. And God is sending us to them that they might know this God who they think might be there, this good force that they think might be there. It's like a guy called Matthew that I got chatting to at my son's birthday party just before Christmas. I spent most of the time not helping my wife run the party, but having a deep theological conversation with one of the dads and telling him all kinds of experiences that I've had with Jesus and how great God was. And at the end of it, he just said to me, you know, this is really interesting. I really find this interesting. I used to go to church when I was young, I've always believed that there's some kind of God, but just don't know who he is. So that was fantastic. I'm looking forward to having more chats with him. There was another guy, I probably told you about this guy before, but another guy from my son's class, a parent of two of the children in my son's class. And I got just chatting with him one morning. We ended up coming back to my house for coffee. And in my kitchen, he just said to me, you know, I've seen angels. Out of the blue, I've just seen angels. I'm like, what? He said, my wife's seen angels. He told me story after story when they've seen angels. He said, I know there's something good at work in this world. And that's the reason I gather people together. That's the reason I want to give people a good time so that they get hold of this goodness. I'm on a mission, he said, to help the other parents of this year understand that there's good stuff out there. And I said to him, so am I. Should we work together? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. Because he knows I lead church. And we ended up praying together in my kitchen that we might help the other parents understand this good thing that's going on that probably neither of us understand very well. But, you know, that's God sending his angels ahead of us. There's another lady at Larchwood Open Table just last week. And at the end, she grabbed me as I was saying goodbye. She said, thank you so much for the talk you gave on hope. It really spoke to me. And then she said, oh, you know, I'm so pleased. I get a lot out of all the talks at Larchwood Open Table. And I'm so pleased that my kids get to hear them because they don't get it at school. And I want them to understand this kind of stuff. I grew up in a church and I kind of was blessed by that. I kind of got good things out of that. And I want them to get these good things. She's a God-fearer. She doesn't know God really yet, but she's wandered off. But through the process of Larchwood Open Table, she's coming back. Linda, thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do, Janet, there. It's fantastic. Yeah, come on. He's going to send us to God seekers. Some are out there, they're wrestling with the meaning of life. They're wrestling with big questions. They don't quite understand what's going on. They look at all the news around the world. They look at stuff and they think, what is going on? What is life all about? Just like Philip, who was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. You know, the Holy Spirit or the angel tells him to go to the road that leads out from Jerusalem down to Gaza. And when he gets there, there's this big chariot, this fancy chariot, posh car. And in it is a very important man from Ethiopia reading the scriptures. So Philip goes up to him and listens. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I understand? I've got no one to tell me. He says, well, I can help. Everyone sitting in this room can say what Philip said. I can help you understand. We don't have to have all the answers, but the Holy Spirit is in us, with filling us with good news for people. And so he takes boldness, he takes courage and gets up into the chariot and starts to explain to him from that scripture in Isaiah about the suffering servant and leads him to understand that Jesus Christ loves him. Amazing. Now, he's travelled all the way from Ethiopia to worship at the temple, this eunuch. And as a eunuch, he wouldn't have been able to get into worship. So he was probably feeling quite low. And here he is being told that actually he counts. He's a son of God. He's loved by God. And he has a full participation. He's able to go and worship that God. So he gets down and gets baptised. And God's going to lead us to God seekers. Just like that guy I pray with in the kitchen. He's a God seeker. And then, of course, he's going to lead us to sufferers. In Acts chapter 8, there's a guy called Ananias who's been bedridden for 8 years. When you've been bedridden for 8 years, you probably think you're going to be like that for the rest of your life, don't you? When you've lived with a problem for a long time, that's what it is. That's what we think. But we carry hope. We carry hope to this hurting world. And the truth is, we carry power too, not just hope, not just a nice hope, not just a nice feeling of joy or peace, but actually a powerful joy and peace that actually breaks in and brings healing. And so he's prayed for by the apostles. And he says, in the name of Jesus, get up. And he walks after 8 years of being bedridden. Same is true with the beggar at the gate with Peter and John. Look him in the eye and say, silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give to you. Get up in the name of Jesus and walk. And he's born crippled, but he walks that day. That's the kind of power and the kind of authority God has given us when he says, go out into all the world with the good news. And so just as Jesus, it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, went around doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil because God was with him, not because he was the Son of God, but because God was with him. Likewise, those who follow Jesus go around doing good and delivering all those who are oppressed by the devil. Not because we're any special, but because God is with us. Amen? Amen? You know, and I had the joy of praying for guys at the last deeper and saw 5 people touched and healing dramatically reduced with arthritis. 1 lady's ears opened when I prayed for her. Yeah, that's just amazing. Yeah, I mean, I can do nothing, but God is with us. And just before Christmas, just a couple of weeks ago before Christmas, I remember a guy I prayed for at my son, it's always around my son this stuff happens, at my son's nursery. And this is a grace for evangelism on him, I'm sure. And, you know, it was lovely because at my son's nursery, he changed the culture there. He started hugging his friends. No one ever, we were at that nursery with Emmy, and for years and years, no one ever hugged. But he went there and he was just copying us. He hugged his friends, good hello and goodbye. And after a while, they demanded hugs back and they started hugging their other friends. All of a sudden, it becomes a hug fest. There's a lot of healing in a hug. Come on. And so anyway, I'm there picking up my son and I hear this dreadful story about a guy that's in pain. And I end up praying. Well, you've heard the story, most of you. I end up praying for him. He's got a bad back. He's been out of work for years. I lay my hands on his back and just say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And a week later, I come back to him and he says, you've got magic hands. When you touched me, I felt power go through. I felt heat go through my back, and I was healed. He's back at work now. And, you know, 6 weeks later, I spoke to him again, and he said, ever since you prayed for me, my life just gets better and better. Before Christmas, he comes back to me, and he's come back to me with something else. And he said, I know that you helped me so much. Those few years ago, you helped me so much. I know that you will help me today. You see, God's going at his pace. You know, you'd think after that he would have become a Christian and it would have all ended happily and we could have celebrated. But actually, God goes at our pace. So, but this time we had a long chat in my living room and I just said, look, if you want to deal with what you want to deal with, then the only way really is to invite Jesus into your heart, in my honest opinion. I said, I don't want you to pray that now. I want you to go away and think about it. Go away and read the Bible. Sent them away one of my Bibles, the Bible that someone bought me when I was at university, which I read and got saved through. And so I sent them away with that and said, look, let's get together again in a few weeks so you can pray into that for me. But the point is, guys, God is sending his angels ahead of us. You know, and there's such an openness to the good news. We carry so much good news because of what God has been doing in the church the last 50 years, and it's getting better. Glory. Yeah? Do you feel it? Blessed are the people who know that God is good. Blessed are the people who know that God is good. It's the sound of revival. And God is at work, and he's sending his angels ahead of us, and he's going to give us encounters with people that are God-fearers this year, who are doing the stuff, but they just don't know who God is. He's going to go ahead of us and give us encounters with God-seekers this year, those who are crying out and trying to wrestle with the meaning of life. And he's also sending us to those who are suffering and asking us, will we live like heaven is near? Will we dare to believe that God will hear my prayer? Not the leader's prayer, not Carrie's prayer, not Dave's prayer, not Vicky's prayer, not Ian and Sabina's prayer, not Colin's prayer, but will he hear my prayer and do something for these people? Because I tell you, you are an ambassador for Christ. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you're an ambassador for Christ. You represent heaven. And yes, you can pray and see his kingdom come. There's no other qualification necessary, just boldness needed. And as I'm saying that, Marisha, I just know that's something for you to grab hold of this year. God says, will you grab hold of that with me? It's not a scary thing. I'm going to take you at your pace, but will you grab hold of those opportunities for me? Because I'm going to lead you to a place of understanding that heaven really is near and that you carry heaven's authority. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're going to finish there. Paul, can we have the band up, please, mate? Play those notes. Not necessarily in the right order. Sorry. I love it. So God is with us, guys. This year, that's the reason we have hope. Not because we're special in some way or other, not because we're better than other people, but simply because we know that God is with us. We know that he loves us. It changes everything. And he's going to help us to become even more good news than we've been in previous years. He's going to help us break out. He's going to help us break in. He's going to help us overcome difficulties in our own lives, but he's also going to help us bring joy to the lives of those around us. He's going to help us to look on the face of Christ. He's going to help us to understand our Bibles. He's going to help us to love everyone we meet. He's going to help us work in our hearts so we live in more love and humility and less fear and less pride. He's going to help us live like heaven is near. He's going to help us give us boldness by sending his angels ahead of us and opening up conversations and opening up opportunities where we feel like, hey, we've just got to do this now. That's what he does for me. He's going to do it for you. He's going to do it. He's going to help us break in. So, and there are other people out here now. You know, if you're an evangelist, if you like someone who likes to bring good news, would you just stand for a moment if you know that's you? Because I want to prophesy over you now. This is a word for you, okay? Because just as you, those stories I've told for you, if you can start playing, Paul, that's great. Those stories I've told, God's been amazing. He's opening up a community of people. Conversation after conversation, experience after experience. Some go back years leading to this time when they're all coming together. And it's a work in progress. But actually, God is opening up like he did with Cornelius. God's opening up a community of people to me. And I love the fact that I get to share God's love with them. But I tell you guys, this is happening for you. God is sending angels ahead of you today. You have a personal angel assigned to you that's going to go ahead of you into a new group of people. And it may be one that you've been working with for years. It may be one you've only just met. It may be one you've yet to meet this year. But I tell you, look out for the angel going ahead of you, because that's a sign to you. Look out for that conversation. Look out for that meeting, that random meeting or that planned meeting that just surprises you. And you end up praying with people you never thought you'd end up praying with. Or you end up praying for someone you never thought you'd end up praying for, because God's sending his angels ahead of you. That's true. You've moved house, Oliver and Rachel. That's true for you. Grab hold of that. There's a new community opening up for you this year. It's true for you, evangelists. It's true for every one of you. Grab hold of that right now. If you're next to one of these guys, lay your hands on them. We need our evangelists to be released in the name of Jesus. We need them to be filled with good news. We need them to have angels go ahead of them that they might know the grace of God in their good newsing. Come on, let's pray for them. Father, bless these people. Fill them with love, Lord Jesus. Fill them with the knowledge of your goodness. Fill them, Lord God, with good news. Help them to see you in all your glory. Help them to love the people that they meet. Help them, Lord God, to live like heaven is near. To be bold, Lord God, in representing heaven, in being your ambassadors. And we pray, Lord God, and we thank you. We thank you that you've commissioned angels this morning to go ahead of them into their workplaces, to go ahead of them into their neighborhoods, to go ahead of them into their families, to go ahead of them into their friendships, to go ahead of them in their meeting, their chance meeting with strangers. You're sending angels this morning, right today, you're commissioning angels to go ahead of them, to open up communities where they can love people in the name of Jesus, and where men and women will come to know your love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But there are other people in the room, as I've been talking, you're saying, it's all very well, Colin, but I need an angel to go ahead of me in some situation that I'm struggling with. And this requires bravery, guys. But you know, if there's situations, it may be some situation you want to see unlocked. It just maybe you need to see a breakthrough or something. But if that is you, and you, as I've been talking, you think, I need an angel to go ahead of me in this situation, then be brave and stand now, because God wants to commission angels this morning to go ahead of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. John, I'm glad you stood, because God, when I was preparing this message, God promised to me that he'll send an angel ahead of you. You don't have to worry, mate. God has got your case. He's sending an angel ahead of you. In this season, he will not let you be wasted. He's going to send his angel ahead of you for fruitfulness. And you love surprises, John. And God knows that. And God's going to give you your heart's desire. He's going to surprise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I don't know what these people are facing. I know what some of them are facing. But, Lord God, I just... lay your hands on them, guys. Come on. Come on. We're the church of God. We're the hope of the world. Let's lay our hands and pray and prophesy on these guys. Let's release the life that we carry to them. Because God is sending his angels today ahead of them into their situations. He's going to bring healing where healing is needed. He's going to bring reconciliation where reconciliation is needed. He's going to bring financial blessing where financial blessing is needed. Because our God is a God who loves to be good news and to bring good news. He's going ahead. He's going ahead of you. He's sending an angel to prepare the way. And what you thought was impossible, God is going to do. God is going to do the impossible. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Tim, this is Tim Campbell, yeah? This is a special year for you, Tim. Grab hold of it. Grab hold of it. I think you can sense it already, Tim. I can see it in your eyes. This is a special year for you, and God has commissioned an angel to go ahead of you this morning in so many ways. This year is going to make you weep with joy, Tim, because you see the hand of God on you. You see God's hand on you. You and Sophie, together in your family, you're going to see angels do stuff, and you're going to say, that must have been an angel going ahead of us. That would never have happened. I can't see how that could have happened. There's a grace and a favor on you this year especially. Grab hold of it. Look out for it. Be prepared for those surprises. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just want to pray, Father, for all of us, that you would help us to live in love and humility, that you'd help us to reign over fear and over pride, over the things that assail our hearts, that you wouldn't let us be burdened by the bad news of the world, but you help us be full of the good news, that we might reign in life through Jesus Christ, that this year, Lord God, more than any other year, we might break out, that the river might overflow its banks, that our communities might be touched and changed by your love. And I just know that as we finish, the Lord wants us to pray together, to pray for one another. The Ignite students are here, the leaders are here. Dave, do you want to take it on? Okay. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit is here, the Spirit of Jesus. with that promise, I'm going to send my angel ahead of you. Whatever it is we're looking for this year, let's not leave this morning without praying into it with someone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's grab hold of someone. Let's say the Ignite students are at the back, ready to pray and prophesy. The leaders are here. You can grab one another. Just make sure that we seal this with the Lord Jesus. And let's walk into 2015 full of hope, knowing that his angels are going before us. In Jesus' name, amen.